Today, we make a run for the border. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace.
To remind
Process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome now. To the Midwest now. Peace Process. This is episode 24. Today is March 13th, 2012. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Rob.
We are going to tackle the topic of immigration reform this time around. But before we do that, I wanted to mention we have a bunch of ways for our listeners to reach us. You can join our new forum on our website. That address is forum.midwestpeaceprocess.com. We'd love to see you out there and respond to some of the threads that are already out there or start your own. You can talk about any of the topics that we cover here on the show or just anything that is on your mind. We'd love to hear from you. You can also send us email, feedback@midwestpeaceprocess.com, or comment on our Facebook page, as always. That's facebook.com/midwestpeace. So, President Obama mentioned immigration reform as a priority in his State of the Union speech just, I don't know, what's that been, 6 weeks ago? So we thought we would cover this topic on the show, and I'm going to let Rob kick things off, because I know he's got a little rant he wants to go on here. So go ahead, Rob.
Fired up this week. For my little intro, I'd like to discuss the Alabama immigration law. I know a little bit about it, read a few things. It's known as Alabama HB 56, the Hammond-Beesom Alabama Taxpayer and Citizen Protection Act, which was a law signed in June 2011. Check it out on the show notes if you want to learn more. But I think this is just a perfect example of how we deal with immigration in this country. So Alabama, obviously a very conservative state, comes out with an election coming out, and Republicans want to take control of their House and their Senate. So of course they need to find an issue that'll fire up the crowd. So they pass this pretty restrictive immigration law. Sounds fine on its face, I guess. You know, it basically required local police and all basically agents of any government to become on the front lines of anti-immigration enforcement. So for any kind of traffic stop that would happen in Alabama, if there was reasonable suspicion, quote unquote, that the person was not a legal citizen, then they were required to arrest them on the spot. Which sounds great, right? You certainly fire up the base. You know, we can't have these illegal immigrants in here. And of course, it won them a bunch of votes. And it worked. They passed it. They passed the law, and everything. There were happy campers there down in Alabama, and so as this all sounds kind of reasonable, I guess if you think that's reasonable. So what happens is that cops now have a lot more work to do. In trying to detain these suspected illegal immigrants, which isn't even their primary task, really. They're claiming that they have enough crime to deal with, and the crime that's in Alabama isn't from illegal immigrants. That's not really what their issue is. So right. It's not even a top priority for law enforcement, but now it has to be because it's mandated by this law.
Right.
And then it all came to a head. You may have heard the story. That down in Alabama and throughout the South, I think they keep trying to court foreign automakers to build their cars down there and give jobs to the local population. So sure enough, they Let's see if I get this right. So it says November 18th, 2011, a German Mercedes-Benz executive was arrested for not having proper documentation. So he was there on business trying to get the jobs to work down in Alabama. Of course, you know, he had his identity card, but he didn't have exactly the right paperwork. Sorry, Hans, whatever his name is. You're going in the clink. You know, and then on December 2nd, a Japanese Honda executive was stopped. He had an international driving permit, a passport, and a U.S. work permit, but he didn't have what the cops deemed to be necessary for not getting thrown in the slammer. So they arrested that guy too. It's like, oh, wait a second, wait, this law isn't. We're not trying to arrest those kinds of illegal immigrants.
Well, hold on. What kind of documentation do they require?
I think
we travel internationally, we have to make sure we have everything we need.
Right. So, but it's reasonable suspicion that they might not be a citizen. Maybe this cop thought a U.S. work permit wasn't good enough, or maybe he thought it looked fishy, or maybe he thought, well, you got a passport, but that doesn't mean you're a legal citizen. It's making the cops make these decisions about international travel and citizenship.
Well, shouldn't they have defined what constitutes proper documentation?
I guess that would.
So why is that? Why is the cop having to? He's not having to discern anything. If this is a legal document, then okay, check the box, and you're free to go. And if not,
well, obviously
I have to arrest you. I have to enforce the law.
Well, obviously there's some confusion about what the legal documents are, and I don't think the answer to this. Answer to the problem is to give the cops more training about what legal documents are. I think it's a completely misplaced law. Illegal immigration in Alabama is not a problem. It's not an issue. They have a very low percentage of illegal immigrants. And now that the illegal immigrants aren't there, the local rural farmers are having trouble getting people to even do the jobs that they need. So they basically didn't have a problem. My big point is they didn't have a problem. What they had is they had an election. And so they had this law crafted mostly by this guy from Kansas, this Chris Kobach guy, who's kind of an up-and-comer in the Republican Party, said, hey, we got an issue you can win on. Let's try this. And they created a law to win an election, and it solved nothing. In fact, there wasn't even a problem to solve in Alabama. But that's not the point.
Did it work?
Well, did it work? So
did that tactic work in their eyes?
I don't think anybody likes the tactics as it's turned out. I don't think it worked in that it helped them win the election, if that's what you mean. Cynical.
Well, that's what I'm getting.
It worked in the sense that the number of illegal immigrants in the state has dropped.
Because right, and
they're all afraid of being arrested, so they've left. It doesn't mean they didn't go back to where they came from. They just went to different states.
Yeah, I'm not saying it necessarily solved anything, but you were saying the goal was to win the election, and they were going to ride this train to victory, right? And
ride that train.
They did that.
They
yes
did.
Or no? Okay, so the people must have felt it was important. The people in Alabama.
That's why I'm turning into Jerry. Just down with democracy. Let's just give up on the whole thing. I don't like this whole voting thing.
Well, I'm coming at it from a different angle, I think, and I'm getting at you're saying they didn't have an illegal immigration problem.
Right.
But the people of Alabama apparently felt they did.
Right. They felt like they did, but they didn't.
You're saying that you don't live in Alabama.
This is the downside of this whole like let's vote a Republican. I think we should have just a board of elites, preferably from Harvard, that would just decide things for us.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's funny, yeah, haha, but
it doesn't make sense. Everything's working out fine. I guess maybe my take-home lesson here. My take-home lesson is that in this case, we had outside forces come in for pure political reasons, create a solution, quote unquote, of a problem that didn't exist, and it was used to fire up the citizenry, and I think we can all see what it was all about now. But what's going to happen the next time with, you know, when the same thing happens? It's like it's an endless cycle. Like, are we ever going to learn as people that it's not just not – some of this stuff's just not true?
No, we're not, because we –
Yeah, I don't think so either.
If we learned as people, this we wouldn't be talking about an illegal immigration problem, because it would have been addressed long ago.
What would
it's not like the problem of illegal immigration. It's
no,
not
I'm
like
just saying,
they just started doing this last year or something.
Right, I'm not really talking. I'm trying to raise it to a higher level, and just that as elections come around, there's very smart consultants that are paid just as McDonald's and Walmart and any other good private enterprise pays people a lot of money to figure out how to sell something to you. There are political consultants that are paid big money to sell things to voters, and
that's true.
And they work just like no, it's not new. I'm not saying anything new here.
Specific to immigration.
No, it's not. But this is just a perfect example. So just like Big Macs are tasty, trying to vote out all the illegal immigrants in your state because you think it's going to help unemployment that's tasty too, and it's being sold to us. And we fall for it every time. Big Macs are tasty.
And the obvious problem there, and the one that Alabama has seen actually come true, is the illegal immigrants will work for, you know, $2 a day or whatever, you know, ridiculously low wages.
Right.
And Americans won't.
Right.
So.
Well, not even that. They will work jobs that pay well, that pay $10 an hour. You know, relatively well, and Americans won't. Like the
well, that's true too.
You're working in the fields. I mean, I've heard that story from Georgia, California, from all kinds of different states where farming is an industry, and they can't get enough people now that a lot of these immigration laws have been enacted or enforced. I should say. So I mean,
so. So what's the problem here? Do we even really have an illegal immigration problem?
Yes,
theorem,
we do. We have a problem. My impression is that we have a problem with illegals who commit crimes, illegals who are taking public assistance, and maybe that's as far as it goes.
Okay.
And just the fact that if they're here illegally, well, maybe they are enabling some shady business practices, and some things are under the table that other businesses are at a disadvantage because they're on the up and up and paying taxes and wages and social security contributions and whatever else goes along with it. And then this other guy is willing to break the law. Like it or not, it is a law. And, you know, that's not fair.
Well, I'll agree with you on the crime thing, but you know it's certainly not just illegals that are committing crime. So
no, it's not.
Crime is crime.
Make that jump. Crime is crime. But if an illegal commits a crime, why do we incarcerate them here and not deport them?
Well, I think we do deport them in some cases, but you know that doesn't stop them from trying to get back into the country.
That is true.
And deporting them is certainly, it's not a legitimate response to a crime, in my opinion. You know.
Why not?
So housing them here is?
Well, no. I mean, we can get off on a whole tangent here about, you know, our justice system and the way it fails to deal with crimes. But just telling somebody, hey, you can't live here anymore, how does that make anything better? It doesn't compensate the victim in any way. It doesn't. You know, it's
well. Neither does locking them up. That doesn't compensate. I understand that there's a certain perceived.
I completely agree, but you know that's kind of beyond the scope of this discussion.
I think it's on the periphery of it.
I just
because locking them up here, we're still paying for. Then we're paying for their to feed them and house them in a prisons that are already overcrowded.
Right, I don't see why. It's like if you're going to have a nation and you're going to have kind of a common country and to have the whole idea of citizenship, then you're going to have your criminals and you're going to have your prisons, and that's going to be the price that society pays to provide those prisons for that nation. But I don't see why that extends to people not in the nation. You know, I don't get that. I'm with Jeremy there.
And on top of that, if we're really, if we've really tried to take steps to cooperate in some way with Mexico and try and help Mexico and help ourselves to address this problem, maybe we can have some agreement with Mexico that, or, I mean, I shouldn't just say Mexico, but, you know, that's the easiest example, that we're going to deport this person, and when you get him back, you're going to lock them up.
Okay. But then well, I just think that's overcomplicating the situation. And I want to get back to the other point you made, because crime was just one of them. The other one, which I think is more interesting to talk about, is that, you know, the quote, illegals are using services. Is that how you put it?
Yeah.
That government services. Okay. While that is certainly true, it's the wrong question to be asking, in my opinion. And this really gets to the heart of the entire immigration issue, as far as I'm concerned, because this is what most people find objectionable, is that, you know, these illegals are coming here and they're, you know, they're getting on welfare, or they're sending their kids to our public schools, and, you know, they're not paying their fair share for all of that stuff. Right? That's
sure. Right.
That's
sure. I'll buy that.
Okay. And that may be true. I don't know. That I have seen some evidence to the contrary that, you know, many illegals do pay taxes. They do, you know, all of those things. So they are paying their fair share to some extent. But again, it's the wrong question you should be asking. You should be asking, why are all of these services being paid for by the government? Should the government be in the business of providing all of these things? And if the answer is no, then why do you care whether these illegals are, you know, are here? If your only objection is that they're using these services that may or may not even be legitimate, then just get rid of the services, and then, you know, you don't care what the illegals do after that, right?
I don't know that I'm willing to say that. Oh, as long as they aren't using services or public assistance, then it's okay for them to be here. Why are they here illegally?
Well, they're here because they think they're going to have a better life in this country than wherever they came from.
Yes, but why? I mean, there are procedures for living here as a legal resident.
Okay.
So why not follow that? Because it's easier not to.
Well,
to some extent,
it's easier. It's cheaper
in the short term. Yes.
You know, applying for citizenship in this country costs $680. I don't know if you were aware of that. That's a lot.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, if you're coming here trying to find a job to support your family and make a better life, $680 is a fortune.
You know, yes, right. It is a lot of money.
Be a month's rent or a month's mortgage payment or something. So I can kind of understand why people would want to avoid that.
Okay, then I don't know. I understand. I would try to avoid paying $680 for something also, except for the fact that I know it could cost me more than that in the long run if I don't. If I'm going to get arrested.
Right. And it's not just you pay your $680 and you're good to go. I mean,
right.
I think there's a right.
So right. Like that's just the application fee, but
yeah. And then I think that just gets you in the queue for
right.
You know, waiting to get approved for citizenship. That's not here's my $680 and give me my green card. That's
right. I get that, but why do we have these immigration laws to begin with?
I don't know.
Let's go there.
That out.
I don't know either. Maybe it goes back to Alabama HB 56. You know,
I guess I'll go back to a quote from Harry Brown, who was a libertarian candidate for president a while back, and he said, "A free state doesn't care who crosses the border. A welfare state is scared to death of every poor person who enters and every rich person who leaves." I think that's where we're at. I think we're living in that welfare state that is scared to death of all the poor people coming in. And that is the root of this issue.
Right.
You know, and if that's not the root of it, then it's something even worse than that. It's just pure racism. I mean, why?
Well, I think that is also at the core of it.
Well, yeah.
Racism. I mean, that's.
Right. Like the Mercedes-Benz executive or the Japanese Honda executive. You know, when people are voting for that anti-immigration law, they have a certain picture in their head, and it's not Hans from Mercedes-Benz.
Right. Well, I have talked to people at work who get mad at the signs at Lowe's being in Spanish.
Oh, right.
And I said, I mean, I understand, I kind of understand why they're angry. I think it's misdirected, but it's ludicrous to be angry about that.
Right. Well, I love when, that's a great topic, because the same people who are angry about why they're in Spanish are the same free market enterprise, you know, let the market sort them out kind of people. Which how can you square those two things up? If you think you can get customers by putting your signs in Spanish or Swahili, who cares? You know,
right.
That's exactly what you should do to try to garner the most business for your company. So how can you be mad that that's what they're doing? You know, those two things don't square together at all.
And these same people have been annoyed when we've traveled overseas and certain signs were not in English.
Oh, right.
Well,
yeah.
Genius. You know, why don't you be a little more short-sighted or close-minded then?
Right. The American goes on vacation.
It is. It's exactly that. But back to our regular topic.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. And we will jump right back into this when we come back. So stay with us. That was an actual break with some crazy stuff that happened, and maybe we'll talk about that in a future podcast, but probably not. But interesting little conversation we were having there about you know, the whole immigration issue, and how when you say immigration, it seems like everybody knows you're talking about Latinos, that we're, you know. The immigration problem in a nutshell is, you know, anybody south of our border. So, yeah, I'm curious why that is, you know, because that.
Well, those damn Canadians are on my right. List.
These nucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's always been that way, right? Because, you know, you go back to like the 1850s and the latter half of the 19th century. And it was the Irish and the Italians that, you know, seemed to I don't know, had drawn the disfavor of a large number of people.
Oh, yeah.
you know, immigrants. Right. And so I'm wondering why certain ethnic groups have become the target of our discontent.
Well, I think once Cinco de Mayo really takes off, then we'll be more lenient, because, you know, St. Patrick's Day, that's a big drinking holiday, and
yeah,
that's the real, you gotta get Americans drinking. That's when things kind of level out.
Yeah, that's a good point. You need a drinking holiday to mollify the xenophobes.
Well said.
Little Strassenfest. Germans, we're good with them now.
That's right. You may be on something here, Jeremy.
Hey, it's not just a good-looking hat rack on these shoulders here.
The Croatians here in St. Louis need to come up with a holiday that involves alcohol.
That is, it's interesting you bring them up. I think that's going to be another hot topic, is the Croatian community or the Bosnian community, or, you know, there's a growing contingent, and anecdotally there's growing dislike and distrust.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't that odd to you guys that we have this, the largest expatriate population of that region of the earth is in St. Louis.
Right. That seems a little random.
That's just bizarre to me. But okay, so why do you say that, Jeremy?
Why do I say that?
Anecdotally, what's leading you to believe that?
Well, actually, there was something in my family with it. He's my great nephew, I guess. He had some trouble at school, some kids picking on him, and it was this group of Bosnian kids. And when I heard the story, it was, oh, those Bosnians. You know, it was.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. That's just.
Well, no, I mean, it...
Yeah, that's.
And obviously, that's
not what you expect here, right?
Well, no, and one incident doesn't make a rule, but I can't believe that's, you know, that was the only incident in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I lived in South City, right in the Bosnian area, and yeah, to me it was kind of your typical kind of oil and water situation. Like the whole communities living side by side that didn't really interact with each other.
Right.
Which everybody seemed kind of fine with, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, why didn't you extend the olive branch?
Nobody wants to talk to me.
Well, it's just it's interesting that, you know, you say that nobody really had a problem with that. It's right. Like, isn't that usually the case when there's segregation like that, that just happens naturally? Nobody has a problem with it because that's what everybody wants, or
right.
Be that way. You know,
right. I always thought of it as like the Home Depot rule or the Lowe's rule. Like everybody at Lowe's and Home Depot was my friend. I have this theory, because if you're at Home Depot or Lowe's, at least you're trying. You know, you're doing something. You know, you may be buying a pink flamingo for your front yard, but hey, you're doing something. So everybody there, I didn't care who you were. You know, they were thumbs up in my book. It was all the people that didn't know where the Lowe's was that I had issue with.
I do not buy into that philosophy. Especially Home Depot. They're on my...
I'm struggling a little bit to see how it applies to the topic at hand, but okay.
Lowe's was a place where you would see people from a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different communities would all be at the Lowe's.
Okay.
You know? So I wouldn't be like, why are these people at my Lowe's? I'm like, hey, if you're fixing your gutter, you know, you're good with me. I'm more worried about the guy who doesn't even know his gutter's falling off.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
It's almost like the United Nations of home improvement.
Well, something we haven't talked about yet is an article about Sarkozy in France, him saying that France has too many foreigners. So this is not, this problem is not isolated or is not solely with the United States.
No, but you know what? I would say that France's approach to that is somewhat unique because...
What's their approach?
Well, just their attempt to protect French culture and, you know, keep it from becoming diluted. That is a practical aim of their government. And, you know, I noticed this when I was there that even on television, you know, they have laws about how many hours a week of foreign programming can be aired on television.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not made by a Frenchman or if it's not in French, there are very few avenues for that to get aired on television. And, you know, and they do that for a reason. They're trying to protect their culture from, you know, becoming contaminated or whatever by other cultures. So, you know, there were American shows on TV, but they were all dubbed in French, and there were only certain hours of the day when those things could air. So I'm using that just as an illustration of the bigger picture, which is, you know, they want France to be full of French people. They don't want, you know, and I'm not sure that that's the goal here in the United States, although maybe it is. Maybe that's the unstated goal, that we want Americans living here. But, you know, we're a country that began with immigration. We are the melting pot. So that's a little hypocritical to try to go down that road.
Well, I think maybe it's more, we don't want to have to change people who have been here. We don't want to have to change our ways to satisfy the immigrants. I think that's the equivalent of France trying to keep it, keep French culture. If you read this article, what you said is pretty accurate. And they're not only, I mean, it doesn't say a lot about illegal immigration, but it's talking about even people qualifying for residency, tightening that and tightening welfare benefits and or access to welfare benefits. So that it's some of the same issues, but why is it that French politicians can say that and ours, it's not a popular thing to say?
Right. Why do they get away with it and our guys would be crucified for saying some of that stuff?
Similar things have been said in Denmark and Australia about, if you are an immigrant here, then you need to integrate yourself into our society and our way of life.
Yeah.
Don't expect us to bend to you.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, coming at this from my anarchist point of view, the only reason you would ever have to change anything about your life to accommodate, you know, immigrants would be because the government forced you to do it, right? I mean, you're not going to have to learn Spanish.
Yeah, but now I have to read these signs that have two languages on them, and I have to pay attention to which. It just ruins my day when I have to, you know, just decipher which section of the sign is English and which is Spanish, and I have to pay for that sign because they have to make two signs, or the sign's twice as big now. So that's my money that's going for that sign.
Meaning the government has to pay for it.
Yes.
Okay. So there's the problem.
Yes, it all comes down to money. Everything comes down to money.
Well, it comes down to government. Government is the problem, not the immigrants.
Yeah, I think we have this idea of a kind of a public collective that's in my mind that your claims are that it's a false construct and that it can only exist by thieving.
Yes.
By taking from some and giving to others in an unnatural way.
Yes.
But yeah, I hear where you're going.
So where do we start with immigration reform?
Where do we start? I say
in a realistic sense, not an anarchist sense.
Pardon.
Nice.
Realistic sense, you you open the borders completely and you don't care who comes in and who leaves. That's what you do. All the problems are solved then.
All so everybody's an American. We don't need passports unless you're going to...
Well, the problem with the passport is you're violating my right to privacy and my right to remain anonymous by forcing me to have one so that I can enter and leave my own country. That's the problem with passports. Do we really want to be that country? Papers, please.
Well, to a certain extent, all countries are that country already and have been for a long time. I'm not saying it's right, because like the national ID card, I do not like that idea. Although, I don't know that it's the reality of it would be much different from a passport, other than if you get pulled over, you don't have to show your passport. Yeah, you got to show a driver's license or something. But
well, right, and you don't need the passport unless you're leaving the country.
Yes.
Well, I resent the fact that I have to have some paperwork to exercise my right to freely travel. And
that's just the way the world is.
Well, you have to identify yourself in some way.
Why?
What if you want to use a credit card?
Well, that's between me and whoever I'm using the credit card with.
And whoever stole your credit card.
It should not involve the government at any level. I mean, I have a right to freely contract with other people.
So would you have, sorry to interrupt, but would you have an equivalent UL agency, that a branding of people? Like, this agency can offer you an ID card if you so choose to have one. It's not a government ID.
Maybe that's a service that my credit card company offers, positive identification. And then it's up to me whether or not I want to submit to that. And if I don't, then, you know, whatever vendor I'm dealing with may refuse to do business with me because they can't positively identify me. And that's their right.
What about birth certificates?
Well, I mean, what is the point of a birth certificate? To prove that I was born? Hello, I'm here.
Well, to prove when you were born and
what,
you know, and who you are and born to whom.
Okay. Well, not all birth certificates include that information.
That is true.
So, and I'm also not sure what the benefit is to me or to anybody else if they're, you know, forced to include that information. You know, that seems like paperwork the government needs for all kinds of uses that I don't necessarily agree with.
Well, yeah, it all comes... So prove you're 16 to get a driver's license. Well, you would say we shouldn't have driver's licenses. We should have, if you're qualified to safely operate a vehicle, go for it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice world, the Jerry world.
It's nice in some ways, but...
Well, I mean, do you believe you have a right to privacy?
Yes.
Okay, well, a part of that is your right to be anonymous. That's a corollary to your right to privacy.
But we interact with...
right to be anonymous, then you have a right to refuse all of these attempts to impose identification on you.
But we interact. We're little molecules bopping around inside the balloon. We're rubbing up against each other. I don't know about you guys, but... But, you know,
It's been a while.
But the world is full of interactions that I feel like there must be some external arbiter to figure out whether your 11-year-old is safe enough to drive 65 on the highway.
Okay.
That they may think it is, or they might be able to pay for damages because they're, you know, they have money and the free market says okay. Like, but I feel like there needs to be some set of rules on the interactions. And I agree. Like, if you're off the grid, if you're in rural Kansas somewhere and you're not interacting with anyone, then hey, I don't really see the need for a driver's license. And that's what happens too. You know, on the farm, there's kids driving around all over the place without licenses. It's just the way things are there.
Right.
But in a city where things are more interactive between people, I feel like there needs to be something in the middle. Like, just because I think you're discounting how much we all have to interact with each other. And I don't believe a pure business model is enough to keep all that straight.
Well, I mean, how many of the interactions that you have every day require positive identification?
More and more are requiring it, but fewer, there aren't many that actually need it.
Yeah.
That's one thing I don't like.
I would agree with that. Too many people asking for your Social Security number that don't need it.
Yes.
But, right. I mean, it goes well beyond that. Too many people asking for your phone number that don't need it. Asking for your name and your address who don't need it.
Right, but isn't that's not just the government. I get a lot more of that from the free market.
Right, but yes. You refuse those people.
Well, I do. But if that's what you're talking about, I mean, that's I get a lot more, like, I get my phone number asked more from my Great Clips than I do from my federal government.
Yeah.
I do go to Great Clips. They're a show sponsor now.
You should not admit that. great mistakes, I call them.
I actually they're not a show sponsor, so I can say that I pretty much cringe through the whole thing. So it's like a little like 20-minute $17 cringe fest.
You can at least go to a hair saloon for men. You know, there they'll give you a beer and
how much does that cost?
Doesn't cost anything. So duels, but still.
No, I mean the whole
soda or water.
No, the whole experience.
Oh, it's like 25 for a cut.
Oh my God, that's $8 more than my cringe fest.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, we've kind of gotten off topic here.
But it's a good example of. I mean, you're talking about identification and people prying in your business. The government is a role that plays a role in that, but they're just one player.
Okay, but within the context of immigration.
Right.
They're the only player. There's nobody else asking for positive ID for me to enter and leave the United States.
Right. That's true.
And there's nobody else requiring me to have a driver's license and, you know, all the other little pieces of paper that I need to conduct my daily life.
But nobody else is asking you either, A, because the government has taken that role, or... Without government, there's no need for that role. Then we have no government.
Maybe you're right. Maybe there is no need for that now because everybody relies on the government to do the dirty work. But I submit that if each individual company was required to keep track of all of that stuff, they would say, that costs way too much. We're not going to do that. Let's find a different way of conducting our business.
Well, right, and it goes right back to the low signs. A free market enterprise would be just like you would want, you know, because what do they care what language you speak? They want your money.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know that they would say it costs too much. I think there's a great, like Rob was just saying, there's a big push to get our information for businesses. Oh, come sign up for my card. You get a free latte every 10 visits and
right.
This coupon. You get a coupon. You get 10% off.
But
you sign up for my card.
The credit card industry is built upon this infrastructure that the government created for identifying people. If that infrastructure was not in place, the credit card companies would have to come up with a different business model, I think. They, you know, like I said earlier, they would either have to start providing this as a service to people who could, you know, voluntarily use it or not, and then, you know, they would have to either choose not to do business with the people who refuse to be identified, you know, which is their right, but I just think that there would be a fundamental change in the way credit is done in this country if, you know, all of that the government does was no longer there. The credit reporting companies like TransUnion and Experian.
Equifax and Experian.
You know, those are private companies, right? They're
providing
that credit history, but it's still based on what? Your Social Security number. So if each individual didn't already have this number conveniently assigned to them at birth, how would that service work?
I don't know. Maybe they would come up with their own number.
Well, maybe. You know, or maybe they would require fingerprints from everybody or retina scans or, you know, something else equally intrusive.
You guys must be all against the whole E-Verify program, right?
What is it?
I think it's a government program that's supposed to make it easier for employers to check immigration status or citizenship status before hiring workers.
Oh, I don't know enough about it.
Let's see. Internet-based free program. Free. You must love that. Free run by the government that compares information from an employee's verification form to data from U.S. government records. So I think the concept is they're trying to mandate that employers make sure that they know what the citizenship status of all their employees are. And there was a number of ways to do that before, and I think they've tried to make a system that where it's common, you know, throughout all the states. It's a federal government program. So it seems like a good idea to me, you know. It's how I roll. But yeah, I know there's a lot of people that are super against it because it does exactly what Jerry's talking about. It creates a master database held by the government that anybody can go in and look and see, you know, what your status is.
Yeah, I mean, it's another affront to personal privacy.
Right.
You know, having a right to privacy means you have the right to decide how paranoid you want to be. I mean, that's what it boils down to, right? You own your own personal information, and you decide how much of it you're going to allow to be publicly available. But the government doesn't respect that. They take all of your information, and they do what they want with it. And in a lot of cases, they lose it, or they get hacked, and it's stolen from them. And that's not just the government in that case. There's, you know, plenty of instances of private companies losing your personal information as well. But
yes,
the difference is you have a choice with the private companies. You don't have a choice with them.
So what do we decide here?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're a little bit off topic again. But, I think this does play into the whole immigration thing because, again, it's the infrastructure that the government has set up that allows them to confirm your citizenship, anybody's citizenship. And, you know, my question is, why does that need to be confirmed? You know, if you're in a situation where you have to prove you're a U.S. citizen to do something, then maybe that something is wrong. There's something fundamental that has to change there.
I think you're this is one of your better ones, Jerry. I think this. I always say this about the Crazy Jerry world, is that much like Crazy Ron Paul world, it's internally consistent. Is a kind of a mathematical term for a system where you can't use theorems inside the system and prove contradictions, which happens all the time in the standard political parties.
Yeah, or on Fox News.
Right. for me, to continue the math analogy, like as I play it out, you know, from Jerry's axioms, like Euclid. You know, if you play out Jerry's axioms and you derive a full system from them, I think that system's pretty wild, pretty crazy.
it is very different from what we currently live with.
Right, but I got to say, with immigration for both Democrats, I think immigration is probably my favorite issue to really think about because I don't believe any political either of the major political parties have something that's in their platform that points them obviously down the road. Like, you know, if you're talking about social issues or, you know, pro-life, pro-choice or Social Security, I mean, all that stuff is boring for Republicans and Democrats because it's just a huge old plank in the platform. So when those issues come up, they just bang that drum on the exact same stuff. But when immigration comes up, I don't really know what Republicans think about immigration really, or what Democrats really think about it, because it cuts across, it cuts across class lines and it cuts across regions. And so I think the most interesting solutions come in immigration. Like, you're not going to find a real interesting solution in healthcare. You know, you're going to get the same old ones. But I think the immigration is an interesting one.
Okay.
I forget what I was going to say about your theories, but.
All right.
I like them. Yeah, I don't know where it all leads, but I will tip the cap to you in that. Oh, what I was going to say is that I think it's a super complicated issue, but I think for you it's an obvious issue.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, it purely falls out by the way you assume the world should be. So there's not even a real, it's not even a question really.
Right.
It's only a question for everybody else.
It falls out, but to implement is too big of a step. There's no, right. Because your initial step is get rid of all governments.
That's right.
Not all governments. I'm not saying other countries have to fall in line, although they would, I think, eventually when they saw how profitable it would be to get rid of ours. I'm just proposing that, you know, to fix immigration right now, government gets out of the business. And you just let whoever wants to come in here come.
I'll stay tuned to see if any of the Republican presidential candidates propose such an idea.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's come up specifically in any of the debates, but I think my position is consistent with Ron Paul's position on immigration.
That's good.
Isn't it partially consistent with Obama also? Hasn't he said we will normalize all current illegals?
I don't know about all that. Easy there, Tiger.
I think he was at one point calling for amnesty for them. I mean, for anybody who's in the country illegally right
yeah.
now.
Yes.
That's not the same thing. I mean, that's what I'm...
On the day it happens, it's the same thing.
What I'm saying is you no longer talk about immigration like it's a thing. Because it's not a thing. It's what people do. It's how they live their daily lives.
Right. It is, yeah. It's just a fact. And I think, for me, my favorite phrase that I've been trying to coin, you can feel free to use it for a fee, is that if we have an immigration problem, we have an immigration problem because we want one. It's something that we actively desire to be there, you know, like the workers in Alabama or in California or in Texas or wherever it is. It's not like, oh, geez, we can't solve this problem. I think we know what's going on. I think it's there by design. And, you know, just like the Alabama situation, I think whatever was going on in Alabama was just fine for the people in Alabama. You know, in concept, they didn't like it. In theory, they didn't like it. But in practice, they loved it. And so the reason why we had that quote problem is that we wanted that problem. We wanted that to be that way.
Yeah, I think you're right. It does boil down to we have an immigration problem because we want one.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I still think. I still say it's all financial. But we have a financial problem, and it's an easy target.
Yeah, I see that too.
Easy target? How?
Easy target. Meaning that it's easy to point the finger and blame it on illegals.
Oh, yeah.
And you get people saying, yeah, those dang illegals. You know, I may have even said it. I don't know.
Yeah. I come back to what I said before, though, that you get rid of all the government handouts and the immigration problem evaporates overnight. Because the only people who care anymore at that point are racists.
I think quite a few problems might evaporate if we got rid of some of the government assistance.
You're qualifying that?
I'm qualifying that. I'm qualifying that. Okay. Yeah, I was a recipient of government grant money to go to college. Now, I believe I have more than paid my share in taxes to compensate for anything I ever received.
Yeah.
But it helped me.
Well,
it,
yeah. And you know what? I would never begrudge anybody who takes advantage of the programs that are already in place. It, you know, I think if they're going to hand you money, you would be a fool not to take it. So don't take what I'm saying as at all critical of you or, you know.
No, I didn't take it that way. But I'm saying the reason I qualified my statement was, one, because I would be a hypocrite to...
No. I don't
say otherwise. And two, there is some good that can come of somebody utilizing those things.
Sure, there's some good, but you know, then you get into,
but at what cost?
It justifies the means discussion.
True.
Show me in the Constitution where Pell Grants are
Article 4
are called out.
Nice.
Okay. Have we sufficiently beat this horse?
Yes.
I liked it.
Okay. I did too. I thought it was good. Hopefully our listeners enjoyed it as well, and they will let us know by sending us comments, feedback at MidwestPeaceProcess.com, or leave us comments on Facebook, or join our forum. Or you can even leave comments on our website. There's all kinds of ways for you to get a hold of us, and we'd love to hear from you. So send us something, even if it's telling us to shut up already.
Yes. Address that one to Rob.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Good night.
Bye now.
And let's also remember that hundreds of thousands of talented, hardworking students in this country face another challenge, the fact that they aren't yet American citizens. Many were brought here as small children, are American through and through, yet they live every day with the threat of deportation. Others came more recently to study business and science and engineering, but as soon as they get their degree, we send them home to invent new products and create new jobs somewhere else. That doesn't make sense. I believe as strongly as ever that we should take on illegal immigration. That's why my administration has put more boots on the border than ever before. That's why there are fewer illegal crossings than when I took office. The opponents of action are out of excuses. We should be working on comprehensive immigration reform right now.